Amen. Thank you, Landmark, for taking your liberty to worship God, taking your liberty to praise the Lord, magnify the name of Jesus. Amen. It's always a good result when we do that. Amen. Knowing that we in ourselves cannot manipulate what needs to be done, but the Spirit of God knows, and we just give Him sweet release. We've said it a million times. We'll say it a million more. He inhabits the praises of His people. When He comes into your praise, needs are met. That's how the battle is won. Amen. And so we win the battle with praise. And so here we are to glorify and magnify the name of the Lord again. Amen. Isaiah is a very interesting character in the Word of God, to say the least. It seems as though he knew more about the New Testament than the apostles did. He prophesied in such detail about what was coming, who was coming, and when who came, he told us who he was going to be. And never got to see that day. And so he's a powerful, very, very powerful man of God in the Scripture. And so we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 11 this morning for our jumping off place for the Word of God. We won't be lengthy today. I feel the Holy Ghost has already done a great work. People have received the Holy Ghost. People have been renewed, refreshed. People have most likely been healed. Amen. We thank God for that. But Isaiah 25 and 11 said, "And he shall spread forth his hands." Again, here he is, speaking of the Lord. And he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hands to swim. And he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hands. All he's saying is that if you're trying to bring forth something that is not of God, that is not of the Lord, not of the Spirit, and you're giving that your all, it'll be brought down. If you take away the P off the word pride, it's just a carnal ride. And so he said that he would bring it down. And I thank God that the Lord is able to correct me and to set me on the street called straight. I'm glad, yes, for God's anointing. I'm glad for that power and authority and dominion that comes in the Holy Ghost. But I'm also glad that He is my Father and that He has the say-so. Amen. And so He's asking something of us today. And let's talk about it for a little while. The subject title today is simply, Stand Up. Stand up. And I'm sorry, but you just have to deal with it today. Last night, folks came to prayer meeting. They stood up on both back feet. Amen. I'm telling you, it was a red letter edition in our prayer meetings last night, and the Spirit of the Lord was with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you love the Lord today? You sure act like it. Amen. And so let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask God's favor on this message today. Jesus, we thank you. Holy Ghost, we praise and we honor you. We exalt you and we magnify you. We lean on you and we look to you. Trust in you and we believe in you. Your will be done, Lord, today in Jesus' name. And somebody shout, Amen. God richly bless you as you're seated just now. I've been affected of late by the political arena. We know that President Trump announced in Florida a few days ago that he was running for president. I wasn't surprised, but he is. And then for the political arena that our vice president has stood in lately. I'm not referring to the meeting in Florida, But dozens of students walked out in protest of the Vice President Mike Pence's commencement speech at Taylor University in May. This was May and the 18th, 2019. Taylor University is an evangelical Christian college. It was founded in 1846 and is located in the upper, what they call the upland part of Indiana, near Fort Wayne, Indiana. The protest centered around Pence's Christian faith. Now, this is a Christian organization. This is a Christian college. And many of the students, in the midst of Pence speaking, got up and walked out in protest. And the challenge he expressed to the students was simply to stand up for their Christian beliefs. And many of those students stood up and walked out. The challenge for us today is to stand up and stay in. Not to stand up and walk out, but to stand up and stay in. Now, anytime you look in the mirror, you need to ask yourself, does the devil want you worshiping? Does the devil want you to love everybody? Does the devil want you in the church? Does the devil want you together with your family? Does the devil... We need to ask ourselves these things. And when we know, clearly know the answer, we need to make up our mind that regardless of what the enemy wants, we're going to stand up. We are simply going to stand up. Amen. And so, you know, throughout most of American history, it's been pretty easy to call yourself a Christian. You've heard me say it many times jokingly that it's hard to find a good sinner anymore because everything out there is Christian. And we believe it sometimes because they said it. But the Bible says you shall know them by the fruits that they bear. That's how we know that they are Christian, if they are bearing fruit. If their spirit shows that, their attitude shows that, their countenance shows that, their talk, their walk, their relationship shows that they are Christian, then that's what they are. But today, it has been for a long time that they are Christian because they said they were. And now, we have a culture in our generation that is standing up even against that in the shallowest form of Christianity. And denying even saying that they are. Things are different. He said, lately it has become acceptable, even fashionable, to malign, make fun of, or to stand up against and to rally against even traditional Christian beliefs. So as you prepare, he said, to leave this place and build your life on Christ-centered, world-engaged foundations poured right here into you at Taylor University, be prepared to stand up for your faith. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the big question. To stand up for your faith. What is your faith? And again, everybody wants to go real general and say, well, I've got faith in Jesus. Do you really have faith in Jesus? Well, yes. Well, then do you do his commands? Well, I don't know. I haven't been reading the Bible lately. That's one of the first commands. He said, my people will perish for lack of knowledge. How do we obtain knowledge? Through the Word of God. Well, why can't I just have a relationship with the Lord and let him give me the Word of God? We come up with everything we possibly can to keep from doing anything. And we want him to be the one that carries all the crosses. We want him to be the one that does all the bleeding. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But we want him to be the one that does all the sacrifice. We want to keep the old friends and the new friends. We want to keep the old influence and sometimes not even establish new influence. We want to do the things that we've always done the way we've always done them, and we don't even want Jesus Christ to interfere with that. Sometimes the man of God can preach all kinds of things, but if it's one of those things that you don't like, it's written off. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, do you and I truly have the privilege of writing anything off that he wants from us? And the audience grows quiet because it's easy to go there, isn't it? Right. But I'm telling you, we need to stand up and let him be everything. We need to stand up and let him be Lord. We need to stand up and let him be King. We need to stand up and let him be the righteousness in our lives, the holiness in our lives, the glory in our lives. We need to stand up and let him be the muscle. We need to stand up and let Jesus Christ be the steel and the metal that morphs us into the image of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the brave and the few. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just telling you right now, the anointing needs to break some yokes, and the yokes are within his people. Amen. I don't want his people perishing for lack of knowledge because they don't want to know. Amen. Now, I'm just going to pick on some folks today, and so you put on your armor and get some thick skin right now. Amen. I'm talking to the no-shows on Tuesday night. I'm talking to the no-shows on Saturday night. And the reason I'm talking to you is I'm asking you, do you want to know? You'll never know until you show. You'll never know until you go. And the option is not up to me, and it is not even up to God, but it is up to you. Amen. And you're going to have to stand and see him face to face and eyeball to eyeball and say, I just didn't want to know. Because I felt like if I didn't know, I wouldn't be responsible for it. Well, that bucket won't hold water when you're standing before the lion. Today he is a lamb, and he is willing to forgive any sin that you've committed as long as you're willing to lay it upon the altar and walk away from it. Amen. But there will become a time when he will be a lion. He will not hear your repentance. He will not give you mercy. That's why the Bible said he has to turn from a lamb to a lion. A lamb is meek and humble and shows mercy, but a lion has absolutely no mercy. It doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter who it is, what it is. It devours it. Amen. And he will have to judge us because not just me, but he is bound to his word. And that's the reason why we need to know his word. And so I'm preaching and challenging the no-shows. Amen. You need to show up and find out what thus saith the word of God, so we can establish our relationship with the word of the Lord. Wow. Preaching good now. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't get quiet because I'm preaching good. That's what my pastor always said. Hallelujah. I like it right now, and I need it because I'm sweating big drops of sweat. Hallelujah. Amen. It makes me nervous when you get so quiet. Amen. I'm just simply saying, and I know, I know that just what I've just said and all that's written off. I know that. But I owe it to myself to tell you that. And the reason for that is because I don't want to stand before him and hear him say, you didn't give him a chance. You didn't give him an opportunity. You didn't give him a privilege. Well, I'm going to give you chance, and I'm going to give you opportunity, and I'm going to give you privilege. And after that, it is up to you. Amen. The devils are so strong. The devils are so powerful. And they are so deceiving. Spirits of wickedness in high places in this world are ready to mow over you. Amen. And you will not even know what they're doing or what they're up to because there's no knowledge of the Word of God. But what we've got to do, ladies and gentlemen, is make up our mind that in these last days, if we're going to overcome, we must stand up, hallelujah, and be counted for. Are we the children of God? Are we the people of God? Are we Pentecostal? Are we apostolic? Are we the Christians of the New Testament? Do we know the truth? Do we know who Jesus is? Do we know what holiness is? Do we know what righteousness is before our God? Do we know what the anointing is and the power is and the authority of God is? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. It's an admonition to the people from Isaiah. People while under siege were similar in the old days, in Isaiah's day. He said, stay strong, stand up. God will do wonderful things. He will cause the enemy to fear. He will protect his people. He will give strength to the poor, strength to the needy, a shadow from the heat. He'll bring down the noise of strangers. I'll guarantee you, the more noise the church makes, the less noise the strangers will make. The more noise the church makes, the less noise we'll hear from the world. I'm tired of hearing what they've got to say. It's time for him to hear what we've got to say. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. If we can make that a habit, amen, we can overcome this world. We can overcome sin. And we can overcome the enemy that is against this. Just as a swimmer, he said, must spread out his hands to swim, so God, as the prophet declares, is focused as a deliverer. As a deliverer in the midst of his people. Amen. I'm remembering a story that I heard from Brother Paul Mooney, and he said a group of my youthful buddies on a summer afternoon back in the day, you know, as we say it, went out to a gravel pit to swim near the small town of, he said it was Windfall, Indiana, wherever that is. And after a while, he said a couple of our friends got into deep water and they became tired and lost, and their strength to swim was gone. And he said a couple of us dove into the pit to try and to rescue them, and none of us were seasoned swimmers. A couple of guys who were in serious trouble were fearful, and they were confused, and out of their panic, they fought us off. And that's all he said. I want to call him and find out if they're dead or not. But that's all he said. And that's pretty rough right there. But let me tell you something about lifeguards. When they go to rescue, someone, automatically people begin to fight. They try to climb on top of them like they're going to stand on them and be rescued, or they're going to hold them down and they're going to be bobbing up and or whatever they're thinking, if they're thinking anything. And so the lifeguard will not go to them. I remember the story of a lifeguard that I was asked one time that rescued an individual, and someone asked him, they said, you didn't even go get them until they went down for the third time. And the lifeguard said, that's correct. And they said, why did you wait so long before you rescued them? He said, because if I had gone earlier, they would have fought me. I had to wait for them to just give up. And when they gave up, I pulled them up and brought them in. And he resuscitated him, and life came back. And then it came to me that you can be your own God. You can worship your little opinions, and you can worship your little thoughts and how you think it should be and how it's supposed to be and all of this. And you can just throw the Word of God to the side and neglect it. Amen. Amen. Listen, if you're able to say you've been in Landmark for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and you haven't read your Bible through, You decide. We can be our own God, but we cannot be our own Savior. We can worship our own opinions, but when it comes to salvation, we cannot save ourselves. We can deceive ourselves into thinking we have, but we cannot save ourselves. We have to have Him to do that. Like that individual had to have that lifeguard to do that because he could not do it on his own. Amen. And so is the Lord waiting for somebody to just say, I give up. I give up on my opinion. I give up on what I think. I give up on how I feel. I give up on my thoughts. And I just simply surrender and I fall down and I die in the very presence of God. Honey, if you will ever do that, you will feel a rescue like you've never felt. Amen. You thought it felt good when you repented. You thought it felt good when you were baptized. You thought it felt good when you got the Holy Ghost. Hey, you can't imagine how it's going to feel when you submit your whole life, your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole spirit, your whole body to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He lifts you up out of the mire and out of that world and begins to cause you to excel and to become what He needs you to be. I'm wondering if there's anybody here today that would love to stand up once and for all, just to simply stand up and let God be God. I can't save myself. I can't save myself. But my God, He can save me. He can deliver me. He can set me free. Hallelujah. We pushed, pulled, screamed, and wrestled to get them to cooperate. It was not a matter of diving into the water and helping them to swim. It was a matter of strength and determination to hold them together until they reduced their fear enough to allow us to help. I want to talk to somebody that maybe not, you don't know everything there is to know about Landmark. Lose your fear of Pentecost and let us help you. Let us touch you. Let us reach out to you. Amen. I wish I had a bunch of those t-shirts I saw at the airport one day. I would pass them out to everybody right here. Amen. The t-shirt said, try Jesus. And the back said, you can change your mind. Hello? Amen. It's not like once you lock into this that we're going to lock the doors and not let you out and hold guns on you. Try this thing and see if you like it. Hallelujah. You can always change your mind. But get rid of the fear. Get rid of all the anxieties and plunge into this thing and go all the way. You will not know the way until you go all the way. I'm sorry. You can hang out, you can think, and you can feel, and you can do all, but until you go all the way, you will not know the way. You'll be confused. There'll be lapses. There'll be times we won't even feel God in the way you need to feel God, know God the way you know God, until you get in the way. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is to find Him and stand up. Stand up against your flesh. Stand up against your devil. And stand up against your world. Stand up against your personal feelings and thoughts. Hallelujah. Amen. And let God be God. And stand up. Hallelujah. And so it was with our vice president's concerns. He said, be prepared to stand up. Christians are under attack around the world. And the enemies are strong. And they are unrelenting. It's not merely a rejection of the doctrine of Christ as God manifested in the flesh. It's not just that. The enemies today are rejecting the moral standards from which the whole structure of the world is determined. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. This thing's got to come together and become one. Does not the Bible depict to us that we are part of the body of Christ? Amen. We are alone are not the body, but alone we are a part. And so we better find the body and get connected and become part of all the body. And that's going to take some sacrifice. This is the ark. This is the New Testament, last generation, just before the coming of the Lord, ark. You looking at Noah. And the Bible said that the Bible lets us know that he made the ark out of the worst kind of wood that you can make it out of. And I believe that was purposeful because it took a long time. And so there he goes making the ark. Well, I'm making the ark. I want to build the ark. And we got some rough material. You don't get it. Amen. But even though we take what we got and we work with it. We take what we got and we put it together. We put it together. And when the flood comes, the parts that did not come together are going to float away. But the parts we were able to pitch together, amen, it was a certain oil that put it together. The oil in the Bible represents the Holy Ghost. If we don't let the Holy Ghost put this thing together, then the fragments are going to float away when the tide of sin comes at full tilt. And I'm going to tell you something else about the ark. Those animals were in there so long and they couldn't scratch on the door to get out. They couldn't walk them. They couldn't take them potty. And so you cannot tell me that by the time it landed on Ararat that it didn't stink. Ladies and gentlemen, stuff is going to come in here that might blow your mind. But let it blow your mind. Do not let it wipe your Jesus out. You got a bunch of people together. You don't have a bunch of gods. You got a bunch of people together and they're going to bring their stuff. And when they bring their stuff, that's exactly what you're going to be aware of. Amen. But we've got to come together. Here's what I vow to do before the Lord. I'll take the stink over the storm any day. I want in this ark, and I don't care who joins us. I don't care who's with us. I want everybody with us. I want everything with us. I don't care if it don't look like me. I don't care if it don't act like me. It's not as short as me, as tall as me, as wide as me. I don't care if it's the same color as me or not. I just want it to join with me. And let's join the ark together. It's a variety. It's a variety. My God is able. That's what you got to say. My God is able. That's what you got to do. My God is able. That's what you got to believe. My God can. That's what you've got to believe. Hallelujah. We don't need another judge. We got one. We don't need another character that wants to stand alone like a lone ranger. We've got that. Hallelujah. Let him be our God and let him put this together. Stand up. Well, I don't have to tell you that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand up and believe God for revival, for evangelism, for church growth, and that by the end, it's all going to be said and done. He'll divide the wheat from the tares. Amen. But until then, I want to have revival with everybody I can get in here. I want to have a move of God with everybody I can get in here. I want to have a touch of God with everybody that can get in here. Isaiah notes in Isaiah again, who spread forth his hands in the midst of them as he that swimmeth. He had no other way to describe what he saw that day. But I'm going to tell you what he saw. He saw this. And to where to Isaiah, it looked as if he was swimming. He was swimming. He was swimming in a pool of blood. Marred, bruised, beat, and battered, so that you and I could get in this ark. Hallelujah. And I'm asking you to stand with me, even right now, if you would. And I'm asking you that if that's swimming, join me in the pool. Get hurt. Get harmed. Hello? Let me just tell you this. You'll never be hurt like he was hurt. You'll never be harmed like he was harmed. Just join us in the pool. Just join us in the pool. Is there anyone that would like to signify to the enemy by showing in the flesh, I choose to stand up. I choose to stand. I choose to make up my mind. Now is the time to spread forth our hands, to be strong and courageous, and to plunge into the abyss, assuage the panic, and to lift up the truth. Be prepared to stand up. Mr. Vice President, say it again. Because his voice will be heard at the General Convention, where nearly 40,000 young people from the United Pentecostal Church International is going to join together. And he is going to say some of the very same things. I have one promise to our Vice President, and that is this. Brother Bolden, not one soul will walk out. Not one individual will walk out. Not one individual will wish they were somewhere else. Not one individual will want to move. Not one individual will want to relocate. But they will stand to their feet just as you. They will clap their hands just as you. They will shout hallelujah just as you. Ladies and gentlemen, within the next 24 hours, because you know how the sun thing does around the world, but within the next 24 hours, there will be approximately 4 million. And that is just the UPC. That's not other One God movements. There's many One God movements. Amen. But just the UPC, within the next 24 hours, over 4 million constituents are going to be doing the same thing you're doing right now. That is a number to reckon with. And I'm telling you right now, we need to stand up. Stand up for the glory of God. Stand up for the anointing of God. But stand up for the peace that passes understanding. Stand up for humility. Stand up for the walking and the talking as true bona fide Christians. And let the anointing break yokes, personal yokes that need to come down.